Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Happy anniversary, baby. 15 years of the Small Business Advocate Show. That's what we're celebrating here this week, all week, as obnoxious as we can be, encouraging you to do the same thing, celebrate your milestones, whatever they may be, whatever recognition you get in your company, and whatever milestones, your annual, your first anniversary, your 13th anniversary, whichever one, celebrate those, because you can't let those go by. And let your customers know about it, too. Let the people around you know that you're celebrating a milestone. Wally Bach is going to help us celebrate a milestone, and he's one of the few who were with me in 97. That's right. In the first couple of months that I was on the air back in 97, we still have a handful of folks who are still with us, and not only still alive, but still joining us on the show. Wally is the author of Ruthless Focus, co-author of that book, also Net Income, and he is a professional in the area of publishing and all things online, and he's our good friend and a truly original founding member of our Brain Trust. Wally Bach, welcome back.
Yes, my staying power is legendary.
Wally, but seriously, I mean, think about that. I mean, 15 years. In fact, December, next month, will be your 15th anniversary with us. And we appreciate all the time you've given us. And boy, howdy, have things changed in 15 years.
You bet. You know, in the book world, if you look back 15 years, it was almost totally different than it is today. And you know that because you were doing books back then.
Yep.
If you wanted to have a credible book, we had to do it through a mainline publisher, basically. And that book was going to be 250 pages. It was going to be vetted by an acquisitions editor going in. It was going to be covered all the way through. It was going to be sold in bookstores. And that was pretty much it.
There was some self-publishing going on in those days. In fact, the truth is, you could go back to Ken Blanchard's one-minute manager back into the 70s, but you had to really want to do it really hard, and you had to, other thing is, you had to withstand the remarks that people would make about it being called vanity press. Because in those days...
And there was a vanity press. People just wanted to be published.
Right.
But there were also people... the Blanchard story is common. But one of the more interesting ones is a guy named Jerry Anderson, who's in commercial real estate, who did a book back in the 80s, in the early 80s, I believe, the first one was, that he conceived of the way we think of books for speakers and trainers and entrepreneurs today. He did a book about his field, just for his field, demonstrated his expertise, and he used it to get big accounts. He used it to get himself into positions as a speaker and an expert, which he was, but the book proved. And that, to me, is one of the very first ones.
He was a true pioneer in that area, using a book, developing your own book as a business development device.
Yeah, I don't know for sure why Ken and Spencer Johnson wrote the one-minute manager and did it the way they did. But I know that Jerry very consciously chose to do a book, to do it right, and so that it looked professional, and to do it as a business building tool. And as far as I know, he was the first one.
I talked to Ken about that. He's been on the show before, and he basically just didn't want to fool. He just was going to do it himself because I think he couldn't get a publisher to do anything with him, and so they just did it themselves. And then they sold $100,000. In a year, and all of a sudden the publishers came and knocked on their doors.
Well, you know, that's the story of the chicken soup stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it didn't look like books were supposed to look, so they weren't going to take a risk. I mean, mainline publishers are not risk-takers. taking.
Well,
what's
shocking is they still don't get it. After all these years, after all the new things, they still don't get it. And but back then, in those days, for most folks, 99% of everybody, if you were going to be an author with a book in somebody's hand, you had to go through a publisher of some kind, and there weren't all that many publishing companies back then compared to now. There are a lot of publishers out there now, aren't there?
Well, but publishing means something different today. If you're talking about the mainline publishers, there are actually a lot less.
There are fewer of the big guys. There are fewer of the big guys, right.
But there's lots more publishers, and there's so much more competition now. And when I talk to clients now, and they say, well, I want to have this book to promote my business, I say, you do realize that with this whole self-publishing revolution, you've got probably 10 to 15 times the amount of competition
right. You
would have had 20 years
right.
ago. So it's even more important to do it right.
So you're saying that the good news is it's easier to get your book published. The bad news is it's easy for everybody, and therefore you got more competition.
And you do. I mean, take mm-hmm. a look. Just about when I started in the speaking business, which was in the mid-80s, if you had a book, it was a big plus. Now it's table stakes.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a book, you're not even going to move into the really well-known part of the professional speaking world. And we've got a guy here in town that runs a roofing company that's done a book.
Yeah.
And he's done a book about roofs. Well, gee, you know?
Well, but see, that makes sense. I mean, that's perfect sense. That's a classic example of how Dan Pointer, who wrote the book on self-publishing, as you know, that's mm-hmm. what he says. He says, find your niche and sell it in your niche. Dan Pointer is the first person I ever heard say a bookstore is the worst place in the world to sell a book.
Yeah, and he was absolutely right. And he learned that because he's a parachuter skydiver.
Right.
And he learned that if he wanted to sell parachuting books, the place to put them was in parachute stores.
Sell them where parachutists are. Sell them direct.
Right, but in the beginning, that was
right.
his specialty parachute.
That's right. That's right.
And his company is called Para Publishing.
That's right. So, folks, things have changed. It's gotten easier, but it's gotten a little more complicated. And but still, if you're going to publish a book, you could still wind up being a Vanity Press example if you don't know what you want to do with the book. We'll come back. We're going to get Wally to help us see how things have changed with regard to what you do with your book. After these messages, 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.